Good evening, everybody. This old man's going to have to sit down. I can't stand up much anymore, so we're going to just sit down, and we're going to go over a few things. And I tell you what, I'm excited about my relationship with the Lord. Amen. You know what? I was looking at a verse sometime this week, or maybe day, I don't know when it was, but the psalmist said that he chastises me, but I'm still alive. You know what? He was praising God that he was still alive, because whatever he done, maybe the Lord could have just wiped him out. But you know what? God loves us so much, and he will chastise us. Sometimes I didn't recognize if I was being chastised or if I was just totally dumb. I've done so many different things that caused the Lord to chastise me. But you know what? I thank God that I'm still alive. And the God loves me. And you know what? He loves you all every bit as much. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I enjoy waking up in the morning and opening up the Word of God. Now, I don't do it every single morning. Sometimes I'm lazy. But I enjoy opening up the Word of God, just reading just bits and pieces, or maybe the whole book or whatever. But I enjoy feeding on the Word of God. As Jesus said, it is food to our soul. So I praise God for that. Remember, Paul, I think it was, said in Romans, said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God for salvation to the Jew first and then also to the Greek." You know what? We should never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Had opportunity to preach a funeral yesterday of a young lady that used to go to church out at Midway with. And, you know, the Word of God comforts us, because, you know, there were some that were very upset and should be upset. They lost a loved one. But as soon as I've been speaking, I started reading the Word of God, you could see people calming down. And this young lady had health problems. She had probably mental problems. She couldn't keep a job, and then come from a family that's rather poor. And I assured them that this young lady was right now in the presence of God, was in the presence of Jesus Christ. And she wasn't going to come back and visit us whatsoever. We get to go see her. And the Word of God, you could just see that comfort everyone that was there. And I thank God for that. I got a hodgepodge of some verses, I think, that we're going to go over. And then it may not be a lot. I don't know what's going to be. The Lord is going to lead me through this. And I pray that I am listening to his voice as I speak right now, because I love to share Jesus Christ with an individual. I love to share Christ with numbers, and I praise God for that. In Psalms 100, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." I know you all heard me say this, because this is one of my very, very favorite verses in the Bible. It said, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness." You know, a lot of times we hear somebody speaking and we're not too sure that they're glad that they get to share the Lord. But share the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And when I'm by myself, and I'm studying the Word of God, I try to always come before God while I'm singing. Now, he don't think it's so bad. Thank God. I do. I think it's kind of ugly. But you know what? Come before his presence with singing. Know ye, the psalmist said, know ye that the Lord is God. Did you ever think that people would get to the stage where they wouldn't even know that? Where they don't even know that the Lord is God? Because the psalmist said, the Lord is God, it is he that has made us and not we ourselves. You know, there's people that would argue with that. That they don't believe that God made us. It says, come before his presence, singing, make. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, it is he that has made us and not we ourselves. You know, when the country gets so bad that they can't tell the difference between a man and a woman, you know we're in trouble. We're in deep trouble. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, is it he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You know what? God didn't just make us and throw us out there. He takes care of us. He's the great shepherd. How do you think he takes care of his sheep? Perfect. Perfectly. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. When we come into the door, and then when we come into that door, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. We should be walking in there just singing and hooping and hollering. Because we are in the presence of our God. I love it. I love it. We're in the presence of God. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. For the Lord is good. You believe that? The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And I need that. I'm more thankful than anybody that his mercy is everlasting. Because I have to have his mercy. Because I mess up too many times. And when I say I mess up, that's usually called sin. But I sin too many times. You know, just bad habit. Say something that I know I shouldn't be saying. Going down the road, I'm not going to tell you. But things that you do, I know I shouldn't be doing that. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. His truth endures to all generations. His truth is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Jesus Christ came to this earth as a baby. And not just a baby, but a poor baby. Didn't even have a place to lay him down. Other than a stall with straw. And it would be cold at that time. You know, he felt cold. He felt, when he got too hot, he felt too hot. But he came as a poor, poor person. And look what he done. Jesus Christ, 33 years on earth. Began to teach his ministry about 30. And look at the lives that he changed, the people that he changed just in those three and a half years that he had as he was preaching and ministering. Think about the time when there was thousands of people following him. Thousands. They said maybe 5,000 was at the dinner that he served with what? 2 fish and 5 loaves, if I remember right. But he served 5,000. That's men. But there was women and children there. So there's probably 15, 18, maybe 20,000 people. How did those people hear the Lord speak? He didn't have a microphone on. How did that happen? You think maybe God caused that voice to go out and people was able to hear? You know, but the people was able to hear. But just think about it. He fed those thousands of people. And the disciples were the ones that seen him create the miracle. They're the ones that served the food. And when they got through serving, they looked into the barrel and they were still full. They were still there. There's food full. It was full of food. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. We praise God for that. Just think what he done. He not only served for food, he healed the sick. We're going to talk about that here pretty soon, I think. We'll talk about it, but he healed the sick. He caused the lame to walk. Listen, do people preach this nowadays? I pray they do. I don't want us to forget one little thing. He caused the lame to walk, the blind to see. That's awesome, isn't it? And I tell you, I praise God. I prapraise God, for my Lord, for my Savior. And there's many people today, and I have people at the place where I'm living. You say something about the Lord and it's almost a joke to them. Now I tell them, you snickering now, you ain't going to be snickering later. And I'm not joking with them when I tell them that. I hope to get their attention. But people will, I don't know. I got family members that know the truth. They're not serving the Lord. And that's probably what causes my more pain than anything, is to know family members, loved ones, good friends, that when you're able to share with them, they just look like they're looking right over whatever you're saying. They can't see it. Anyway, I just love the Lord like that, and I love to talk about the Lord. Let's just look at this psalm here. It says the people have a good reason to praise the Lord, because it told us to praise the Lord. What are some of the good reasons to praise the Lord? We praise the Lord because he saved our soul, first of all. We have been saved, and we are going to be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. What are we going to do in heaven? You ever think about that? I wish he'd told us a little bit more. But then maybe we wouldn't be able to just speculate and think about those things. But I think in heaven, this is the gospel from the Kidwell Bible, but I think in heaven that when we get there, we're going to start really learning. We don't know nothing now. We don't know nothing. We're as dumb as old Tom Kibble was when he was in grade school. So I tell you what, I'm excited because I think we're going to get to, we may even have a theater that we can go to and watch him while he was creating the world. How would you like to see him speak? And millions of stars showed up in the sky. That's what happened. He spoke them into being. Or he spoke, and there were some mountains. You know, I'm sure God, his son, together, creating the world. I don't think the people could be there because they would be flabbergasted. We may not be able to stand that. But anyway, I wonder what we're going to do when we get to heaven. I think we will get to see some of our loved ones. I really do. And that'd be wonderful. The writer footnote down here says that created beings are not just created beings left to fend for themselves. They remain in God's care as the sheep of his pasture. And I talk a little bit about that, but just think of how he treats the sheep of his pasture. He's the good shepherd. Wow. And we have our Lord, and we can go to him, directly to him. We don't have to go to false fathers. We don't have to go to any guru that will show us the way. He shows us the way right here. And I just love him so much. You know what? The writer says here, these are all observations that should motivate people to be joyful. I think it's a good thing to be joyful all the time. I enjoy life, and I try to enjoy life, and I try to be joyful. Sometimes somebody look at me and say, "What's the matter with you?" Well, maybe I'm just sitting there, done forgot what I'm doing. But I try to be joyful because what more? Who else should be more joyful than the child of God? You know, who else? There's none of them. There's no one that's not a child of God, not a Christian, that has joy. They may have false hope, but they don't have joy. Maybe that's why they're such sour prisons, you reckon? You know, I was sitting in my building the other day, and I was putting on some clothes, and I think my building, where I live, it's got a problem. It must be real damp, but I don't notice it. But my clothes are not fitting me like they did. Now, I've been thinking about going to the manager, and I want an answer. But my clothes, my sister was making fun of my gaposis on my shirt here the other day. And you think it could be the building where I live? I think it could. I know it couldn't be anything else. Anyway, listen. These are all the observations that should motivate people to be joyful. Joy should be shared with others in a communal worship. When we come to worship, boy, we should be as joyful as anybody. But you know, we got a revival coming up. Maybe that's the one thing that we should emphasize, is be joyful. Now, we don't want to have a false joy, but by gracious, with the Lord, there's nothing false about it. We got everything we're ever going to need. And we got promise of future. We don't have to go to a funeral like I did yesterday. We don't have to go to that. The future will be no deaths and no sorrows, no sickness, no sadness, no bickering, no fighting, no anger. Wow, isn't that awesome? Because that just creates uproar. There won't be no uproar in heaven. Wow. I like that. You know, if he's got a bus ready, I'm ready to go. You all ready to go? You didn't sound all that enthusiastic about it. Yeah. And I don't know what I would do if he said, "Hey, jump on the bus." But I guess I would go. I don't think I have a choice. Brad is talking about in a temple that worshipers had to go through one or several gates in order to get to the inner court. All along the way, to worship, these people are to express praise and thanksgiving to God. A lot of times, we'll say we're thankful, but we don't say who we're thankful to. We need to say we're thankful to God for what he has done, for his protection. You know, I know I told you people about my great-granddaughter and some idiot that was trying to get in contact with a bunch of young girls. I expressed praise and thanksgiving that God was protecting her all along. And that she, and then I also talked with her and shared with her how proud I was that she was able to go. She went directly with some other, I didn't realize it, but she went with some other kids and moms to the police station. So I thank God that God was protecting my baby. Sometimes these babies do get attacked. Horrible. Praise is grateful acknowledgement. Be nice if I could talk, wouldn't it? It'd help a lot. But praise is acknowledgement of who God is, and thanksgiving is appreciation for what he's done. So we could jump up and say we're thankful for what God has done. No one else. For what God has done. Just think of the little things that God has done. God has put you and your spouse together. God put me and Betty together. Sometimes he thought, boy, maybe I shouldn't have done that. But he still put us together. And then also, I have been blessed because my children were safe, healthy, and I thank God for that. I hope and pray that no one's had to lose a child or have a sick child. But I thank God for that. I praise God for that. Let me see if I can find this other place I had. Did I ever tell you that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Something to think about, isn't it? I was reading this story on Peter and John. You know, Peter and John, they were headed to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. I'm not sure what hour that is, but the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. First of all, let's just take a look at this man. This man was 41 years old, and they had to carry him to that gate every day. You know, that's some special friends right there. But think about this. He's laying there. He's probably not very clean. He's probably pretty pitiful looking. I'm not making fun of him, but I'm just trying to be realistic. You know, don't we wish, as we're studying the Word of God, no, maybe we don't, as we're studying the Word of God, we could get some of the smells that they would get? You know, just think about it. Don't you think he was probably pretty dirty? Peter and John come walking by. And it said, and seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked alms. Can't you see it? Now, he wasn't blind, so he was able to see these people come walking up. He sees Peter and John coming, and he said, boy, maybe I can get something out of them. Just a penny. Yesterday, yesterday I was coming up to a stop sign, and I could, at that stop sign, I could look and see two or three other people asking for money. And this guy come up, and he just put the sign almost right in front of my window. What do you do? You know, I would love to be able to give them whatever they need. But is it right? You reckon that what they're saying they want is for the right reason? I don't know. You know, that bothers me. It bothers me if I should give something. But that just come up. That just made me think about it. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple ask of alms, and Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John. Peter and John both begin to look right at him. Right at him. What do you think was the man's reaction right then? What do you think? You think he was thinking, oh, I'm going to get something here. I'm going to get something here. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. So that right there tells us he was expecting to receive something. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Boy, the air went out. Don't you imagine? The air went out. Have somebody ever give you something, you wasn't expecting to receive something, but somebody gave you something, and it was even greater than what you thought they gave you at the time. It was a great thing. I'll just tell you, part of my whole life, Betty and I was married 12, 15 years, I don't know. And we didn't get a home yet. We lived hand to mouth. I made halfway decent money. But we lived hand to mouth because we didn't know how to handle money. And I worked for a man at that time for probably 13 to 14 years. And I didn't think that I would ever, ever have a home on my own. And his son was also, he was getting older, old enough. He was halfway a carpenter. Yeah, half a carpenter. And the guy that I work for says, I tell you what, you all build a house. And Tom, I'll sign for you to get that house. Wow. I never dreamed. I'm honest, I never dreamed that I would ever have a home of my own. Because I was living hand to mouth, and that's all bad credit. So, we did get that home. We built a home. We was able to move into it, set up payments and stuff. But you know what was even a greater blessing than getting that home? Was it straighten ourselves up? It straightened us up to where we started handling money right. Why? Because we want to make sure we was not going to lose that home. We started paying our bills like you're supposed to. And you know what? It didn't take long. It didn't take long to do that fairly easy. When you're living on a carpenter's pay and you're working by the hour, you never know how much money you're going to have coming in. But we made sure that we made that payment on time. And when we started making that payment on time, we started making sure that maybe we made another payment on time. And it wasn't long till our credit was getting up. It wasn't perfect. Took years to get my credit where it's good. But that was a blessing upon blessing when Roy, my boss, told me he had signed for that. He had signed for that home. So I thank God for that. And I'm just hodgepodging going through this. So I'm just thinking out loud. But I thank God that we was able to get a home, get ourselves straightened out, and finally come to the point where we could, where we had decent credit. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Wow. And you know, as Peter was saying that, he had his hand out and he was lifting him up. This man had never ever dreamed that he was ever be able to walk. Then he lifted him up. That's what the way I see it. And when he lifted him up, it says he took him by the right hand, lifting him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. That's God, of course. That's God that's doing that. That's God that's healing him. And look how fast he was able to do it, just like that. And look, I love this verse. "And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." Can you not see that? Walking and leaping and praising God. And you know what? The people knew who this guy was. They knew that something had happened with this fella. And he's now walking. And what's he doing? He's praising God. Now you would think that the crowd would be overjoyed. But we have some people in there that wasn't happy at all. And you know who they were? They were the religious leaders. They were the ones that was representing God to the people. I tell you what, things can get twisted, can't they? Things get twisted. "And he leaping stood, walked, and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he was set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement." They were filled with wonder and amazement. Don't you know that was talked about for quite a while? When you think every time they see this guy, that they would remember the day that he got healed by God. Have to. "And the lame man, which was healed, held Peter and John." I take it that he grabbed them and hugged them. Would you not do that? Oh, my. "And when Peter," "and the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's Great Wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, 'Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly unto us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man walk?'" Captain John was talking about this morning being bold. About being bold. Well, look at what Peter says here. Peter then says, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus Christ, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer." Do you remember that murderer's name? Barabbas. "You desired a murderer to let him go and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, wherefore we are witnesses." Was that bold? Was that bold what he was saying? He was looking right at the ones that the disciples were so frightened of just maybe a few days before. In fact, they had went into their homes and locked the doors because they were afraid. Now, through the Holy Spirit, God gave them power to not have fear, to speak up. It says, but ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Wow. And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead. Wherefore we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is laid by him hath given him the perfect soundness in presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. Rulers were standing right back here in the back. The rulers were standing back here in the back. Did Peter care? No, because he was talking through the Holy Spirit's power. All this was done through the Holy Spirit's power. And he was talking through the Holy Spirit's power. Here's what Peter told him to do. You repent ye therefore and be converted, if I remember right. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That's what they needed to do right then and right there. And that included the religious leaders. That included the religious leaders. Because they were a large part of the crucifixion of Christ. Of course, who was a large part? Who was guilty? Every single one of us was God, because Jesus died for sinners, that he might redeem us back. Aren't you glad that you've been redeemed? I think about that often, but I love that song, Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. I love that. But you've been redeemed back. I think about the old store, redemption store, I guess you call it, where you take those stamps back and you would get what, money? Look at the power, look at the courage. Look at them. These guys, Peter and John, did they ever go to a school? Did they learn how to read? But that now they can. They can write now. Of course, the Holy Spirit gives them power to do it. They can write. They can read. These guys, somewhere in here it talks about, well, these are unlearned men. Unlearned men can't read or write. But these guys can, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Is there anything that the Holy Spirit cannot do? Nothing. Nothing. We praise God for that. I'll tell you, As we get ready to close, I love to look at different verses and stuff and kind of break it down and maybe try to, what is the surroundings of it? There was hundreds of people probably hearing Peter and John speak. There was the Pharisees that was there, and they were hearing John condemn them. And he says, listen, guys, repent. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. They didn't do it. They didn't do it. We can say that to many people today. We can preach. We can just talk with our friends that you need to repent ye therefore and be converted, because God loves you. God loves you. Isn't that neat? the God of the universe, the one that spoke everything into being, loves me. It's hard to believe, ain't it? But it's not hard to believe when we see what he has done for us. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God in heaven, what a joy it is to look at your word, break it down in everyday language, everyday thoughts. I wish I was a good thinker. But Lord God, I thank you that you have showed us truly how much you love us, and you love that man that was lame, and you let him be healed. I'm sure that even the day that he's leaping and praising God. Lord God, we thank you for your blessings, for your watch care, for your love and your mercy. Father, help us to walk with you this week. Help us to share with one another, if as at all possible, about Jesus' great love. Please forgive us, Lord God, where we fail you. And when I say where we fail you, means where we sin against you. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.